Our meditation for this morning is based upon our epistle reading, St. Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, and in particular, where he writes, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One must suspect that St. Paul had Jesus' parable from this morning's gospel on his mind as he wrote this letter to the Colossians, because both are asking me and you the same thing. What's really important to us? Why, even Solomon contributes to this discussion in our Old Testament by reminding us that everything that belongs to us will eventually belong to somebody else. So, are these things to which we treasure so dearly worth losing our soul over? Is something so important to you that you would risk your eternal destination for it? Looking around, apparently the answer to that question for some folks is yes. And we can determine this by simply looking at what folks choose to make a priority in their life. Money. Money and obtaining as much of it as possible is, of course, a big motivation for a lot of people. It often determines what we decide to do in life and what profession we wish to enter. We ask ourselves what career path will provide us with the biggest income, irregardless of whether it will bring us happiness. This is, unfortunately, one of the reasons why our seminaries have so few students studying to be pastors nowadays. I mean, who wants to go to college for 8 years not to earn a top salary? I think we'd have to add sports as something that many people make a priority, either playing it or being devoted to a particular team. Honestly, in our country, there is almost a religious devotion to sports that supersedes that of any organized religion. I mean, drive past an NFL football stadium on a Sunday morning in the fall, and then drive past a church. Which of those will be packed with people? I think we'll know the answer to that. And of course, sex is a huge motivating factor in what will drive people's priorities. The media doesn't help by constantly bombarding us with ads and programs that tell us that the only thing that will truly make us happy is a satisfying sex life. I probably don't need to tell you that sex is a huge motivating factor in people's desire to cheat on their spouse, even if doing so leads to the destruction of their family. Never mind what God even has to say about the subject. For instance, this past week I saw a YouTube video posted by a minister who was showing a video that a young woman had recently posted online about how she was leaving her husband and 3 children, not because he was abusive or anything. Actually, she admitted that her husband was a great husband and a wonderful father, but that she had decided to break up her family because she needed some excitement in her life. Basically, this young mother felt that her life was too boring, and she figured she'd find fulfillment and happiness by getting picked up in a bar from some random stranger. You just can't make this stuff up. Where are people's priorities? Why on earth would somebody put their eternal soul in jeopardy just to accumulate metal or green printed paper, to cheer on a sports team, or to have their sexual fantasies satisfied for 10 minutes? It makes no sense. And that's how you know you're dealing with something that is sinful. If you visit the huge cathedral in Milan, Italy, whose construction was begun in 1386, you will find as you enter 3 huge doorways, and above each of them there is an inscription. Written in Latin, the English translation reads over the right door, "All that pleases is but for a moment." Over the left door it says, "All that troubles is but for a moment." And then over the center door it says, "Nothing is important save that which is eternal. I'll say that again. Nothing is important save that which is eternal. Words we should take to heart. God said to the man who had laid up riches for himself with no regard to God or anyone else, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then, who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God, Jesus said. To those who pay no regards to God, he is going to call them a fool when they stand before him. Friends, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that person. And it all comes down to priorities. What's important to you? What ought to be important to you? And that's probably the question we should be asking. As I've just mentioned a moment ago, when something makes no sense, like doing something that you know could jeopardize your eternal destination, and yet you go ahead and you do it anyway, that's when you and I need to recognize the red flag. It's a sin, and like all sins, it could result in God calling us a fool. Every sin against God is in reality the highest form of selfishness on our part, because every sin involves the desire to have something God Himself has not given to us, or to do something according to one's own idea of what is right instead of according to what God has said. Unfortunately, the apparent absence of an immediate consequence for committing sin has apparently even led some believers to doubt the seriousness of sin. But St. Paul reminds us this morning that God's judgment, though delayed, is sure to come. Therefore, he implores us, "Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Because of these things, God's wrath is coming." And then the apostle reminds us that we have been rescued from slavery to sin and unbelief by Christ. And now that we have a new life that is set free from bondage to Satan, we should reflect our new status as God's children by the way in which we live our lives. In other words, Christ has set you free. Why live as though you were still a prisoner and subject to the devil's whims and desires? Why listen and give heed to what he wants? Rather, let us do what God wants to the best of our ability, while recognizing that this is indeed hindered and impeded by our fallen nature. So we will have to elicit God's help, which he says he will provide to us, and he has provided to us by his holy word and sacraments. Yet, effort will still be required on our part, and this is done when we set our hearts on the things that are above, that is, firmly trusting in God's promise to forgive our sins through Jesus Christ, and that we have an eternal inheritance awaiting us in God's kingdom, to set our hearts and minds on the things above, that is, to realize the importance of prayer, worship, attendance, and reading the Scriptures. Now, Paul isn't saying that we should only occupy ourselves with the heavenly and spiritual to the exclusion of anything earthly or physical. No. Rather, the contrast that he is trying to make are between those things that are fitting for a person whose life here on earth is but a prelude to the eternal life awaiting them in heaven, and those things which are decidedly not fitting a believer. Yes, sin still pervades our lives, our thoughts, and actions. Yes, we cannot help but sin, because that is what we are on this side of heaven, sinners. But that doesn't mean we merely give in to our fallen nature. Just because the sign says wet paint doesn't mean you have to touch it. Just because someone's attractive doesn't mean you have to touch them. Just because someone cuts you off in traffic doesn't mean you have to reciprocate and act like a lunatic, cussing at the top of your lungs. for you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ, St. Paul says. In other words, let our old nature die within us, for Christ has atoned for our sins on the cross, and our life of sin is now hidden behind his life of perfect righteousness. So what's most important to you? Is it money, sex, power, prestige, a Green Bay Packers Super Bowl victory this season? What ought the most important thing be to us? Our faith, God, eternity in heaven? Now, folks can say and assert a lot of things, but Jesus probably said it best when he said, "A tree is known by its fruit." Does your life reflect a faith in Jesus? None of this comes easily. Jesus told us as much, but he asked us to be faithful. And to those who are unto death, he promises a crown of everlasting life. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me, died that I might live on high, lives that I might never die, and as a branch is to the vine, I am his, and he is mine. Amen.